Welcome to the Audible Ecstasy Podcast. Each week we sit around and discuss the music from our past. Sometimes we agree.
I call it iconic. It's a 10. That riff is it's incredible.
Clearly a 10. This is one of the most iconic songs of the 80s.
Iconic from start to finish.
And sometimes we disagree.
The song sounds like something you might hear at your aunt's funeral.
The absolute worst lyric ever.
With the juvenile flush on that one, I'm not dealing with that. I'm not dealing with that crap.
Thank you for listening and enjoy the show.
All right, guys, we are back with another Audible Ecstasy podcast, and this week it's Anthony's pick. My favorite band, it's Metallica with their 598 EP from 1987. Boys, y'all ready to do this?
I am. I was going to ask Anthony if he had a tag along, but Jimmy, do you have one since this is your baby? We'll let Anthony go to you. But.
I don't really have one, man. Good
Put
Lord.
You on the spot. All right, Anthony, what do you got?
Welcome to the Audible Ecstasy podcast, a crash course in podcasting.
That's pretty good.
Not bad. Yeah, yeah, I actually like that. Yeah, I mean, I was just going through stupid lines in the back of my head, like I can see the stars, but I can't podcasting. See what's going on. It's the Audible Ecstasy podcast. I don't know.
It's helpless.
Oh, it certainly is. All right, boys. Well, let's get this party started with the first track of this little EP. It's called "Helpless" from the original band Diamond Head. This is Metallica's take on this tune. Hit it. Original?
We can. Do you want to talk about this first and then play the original after?
All right, yeah, let's do absolutely. That. So Helpless, this is obviously the opening track on this EP. From the starting drum roll, you know it's going to be just a fast-paced, frantic run through of a song that just lets the listeners and the fans of Metallica know that they're back. They're having fun. They're probably drunk as can be. And they are going to absolutely give you the Metallica crunch through and through. And this track is no exception. I think they flawlessly cover this tune. It absolutely pays total homage to Diamond Head. Very close to the original in pace, but that Mesa Boogie Crunch that Metallica created or moved on. This might be between the Marshall and Mesa Boogie years, but man, Hetfield's massive fast right hand just absolutely destroys this song. He lets everybody know that, hey, we're not dead. We're back. Man, this song is absolutely outstanding. I gave it a 9. Chris, what do you think about Helpless?
To clarify, was this the very first recording they did after Kurt's passing?
Yeah.
It's the first released recording. Yeah, they have a couple of demos out there that were in between. But this is
I never even really put that together, but that makes sense.
It's the sort of way to introduce Newstead, I think, wasn't it, Jimmy? Isn't that right?
Gotcha.
Yep, as far as I can tell, this is the introduction. That's why there's so many bass-heavy songs on this album.
I mean, I pretty much agree with everything you said on this one. This is typical 80s Metallica thrash through and through. It feels like it could fit right on Master of Puppets or Ride the Lightning or something. James's vocals are flawless. And yeah, they're just laying it's just a thrash, just fantastic song, man. There's not a lot more I can say on that. I gave it a 9 as well. I think it's outstanding. I think it's probably the best song on the album personally too, but
no kidding. Okay.
Yeah. I'd say it was my top one. Yeah.
That's probably my second, maybe my third. I don't know. It's just five songs. I mean, my God, what can you say? All right, Anthony, what do you think about Helpless?
From Metallica Wiki. I got pulled all this information from Metallica Wiki. Is it reliable?
It is. Yeah, it's pretty solid, dude.
Metallic.fandom.com, in case anybody wants to check it out. Album information. The 598 EP, Garage Days Revisited, was the group's first recording to feature its new bassist, Jason Newsted, which we already said. Credited as Master J Newkid in the liner notes. It is also the band's first release following the death of Cliff Burton. The extended play consisted entirely of covers of late 70s and early 80s new wave of British heavy metal bands and hardcore punk music, rehearsed in Lars Ulrich's Oryx garage, and later recorded in a new studio the band had constructed. The group included the dollar price in the title, which was printed on the cover, in an effort to ensure that fans were not overcharged for it, though some retailers did ultimately charge more than the $5.98 price referenced in the title. There's not a lot on the songs, but I thought that was kind of interesting little blurb about the album itself. So, man, $5.98 for an album, that's a pretty good deal. Anyways, this song was originally recorded, like Jimmy said, by Diamond Head in 1980 on the Lightning to the Nations album. In case anybody wants to check that out, that album. I haven't done that, but probably should.
We'll hear that song in a second. So.
Yeah. in case you want to check the entire album out, it's called Lightning to the Nations. That nasty drum beat hooks you quick, and once the man kicks in, we retreat to a heavy, powerful Metallica song. Pulls no punches. The boys are dialed in on this one. It's 9 for me, too. Outstanding.
Excellent. Excellent. All right, Chris, let's hear the original.
Has the same energy, but not the same punch. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I think Metallica's version is better, but I will say that it's a pretty solid tune. On its own right, and they kind of have like a little power sound going on there. I don't really know what I'd call
it. New wave of British heavy metal sound is what
you think that's that. You see, some of the stuff down the road feels that way more than me. I don't know if I call this British metal. Maybe I don't know, but
it's sort of that style.
They were considered that. Yeah, they were considered one of those bands. Yeah, without a doubt, Diamond Head.
That's a pretty wide range of sound.
It is,
because I've heard a lot that attached to a lot of stuff.
It is. Well, you're talking about Def Leppard's first couple albums was attached to that. Yeah. Think about it that way. I mean, it sounds nothing like the rest of the stuff that came out of there. So, you know, it's still rocking tune. It's just that a lot of folks, and I'll go ahead and say this, the majority of these songs on here, to the majority of their fans, at the time, never even heard the originals.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
There's a possibility a few of these songs may have been, I would say, with the Legion, that, like Metallica, the Misfit cover at the end, probably was heard by many fans prior to this. But other than that, I think it would be very limited. There would be a few older, the people older us that were Metallica fans, they may have been into it because they were already metal fans if they were Metallica fans in 83, 84. So they were probably diving in head first into this British heavy metal stuff that was coming across the States back in those days. So there is a chance, but the younger generation, like our group, our age and younger, it wasn't that popular because most of us didn't really know these bands.
I had no idea.
You know,
like it should be noted that these guys also did the Four Horsemen as well there.
Am I Evil
song. Am I Evil.
Jeez, I was just thinking about that song. Why? Nate's on my wavelength today, and you're on my wavelength today. He read my mind today. I was just thinking of Am I Evil, man. That's one of my favorites by Metallica.
And Kill this too, is man. Their song as well. So like, if you go look up Diamond Head, those are the first two songs you see. So obviously, I'm sure Metallica had a ton of influence over that. But, solid band, I think, man. Honestly, I would actually consider diving into them after hearing that. So
maybe we
awesome.
Will.
That's awesome, guys. All right, well, we're going to go ahead and go to track two. It's called The Small Hours. Hit it, Chris.
I am the tale of fear.
The Small Hours. From the band Holocaust, Metallica has slowed it down but got heavier somehow. It's amazing. It's amazing. All right. So they picked a tune from a relatively obscure band to my ears at the time, and they cover it perfectly. I mean, it's nearly meeting the pace of the original. This is probably my favorite song on the album, to be honest with you guys. There's just something about that crunch and something about that just a gin. I love it. Absolutely love it. The heaviness of this tune just kind of gets your head moving. It just makes you really want to jump right into the mosh pit. Hammett's solo is absolutely superior to the original. I mean, Hammett puts life into this guitar solo and blows it away. Although the original guitar solo is not bad by no means, but Hammett just owns this one. He breaks out that wah pedal and just, wails away on it. I think the song is absolutely fun, damn near perfection for Metallica. I gave this one a 9.5 because it's my favorite song on the album, and that's probably why I leaned that way. Man, and just the fact that it's kind of sludgier, slower, it's probably one of the slower songs they've ever recorded at this point outside of the Fade to Black.
Yeah, this
in all seriousness.
Not to cut you off, Jimmy, this gives you those load, reload vibes when you hear it, kind of, or Black vibes.
Not that sound. It's not that sound. It gives me the vibes of... It's that crunch. It's just a crunch, man.
Load and reload when I listen to it. That's so lower.
You're jumping line. I had that in my notes. Just you always telling me I'm cutting you and stealing you off, man.
I don't hear load and reload in that, but I do hear. I don't know, man. It rocks, in my opinion. And I will say this: I know that I don't know if you've ever seen them play this live, Anthony. But Chris, do you know they opened up Lollapalooza with this song?
Did they? I didn't remember that. No.
Well, they came out and played the first bit of riff with it, because that's what Hetfield walked out playing. It was awesome. I was like, oh my God, they're playing Small Hours. But yeah. Nonetheless, Chris, hit it. What do you think?
Well, man, the groove on this song is just infectious. I love the guitar tone. I guess you talk about that Mesa Boogie crunch. I guess that's kind of where that's coming in now, right? James's vocals are awesome. I love that down-tuned kind of guitar. Like you said, Kurt goes off on a solo. I said something that could have been on the back half of the Load album, Anthony. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I gave it an 8. I thought it was an excellent song. I may be low. I don't know. I do see where you're coming from, man. I love everything about this song. It's so much better than the original, which we'll hear in a second. But, excellent tune.
Awesome. Anthony, what do you think?
And once again, from Metallica Wiki, The Small Hours was originally released by Holocaust, like Jimmy said, in 83 on the Holocaust Live Hot Curry and Wine album. So if you want to, check that one out. So anyways, my thoughts, man, I like the way this one comes in before the groove drops. It's eerie and ominous. Dig that. Very Pantera kind of vibes too. But what if Pantera heard this song, kind of like the riffish, and decided to jump into it?
It does have a Pantera sound. I agree.
It does. And once this song kind of gets thumping, it's a solid tune, man. It's hard not to sing along or bob your head. And no issues with it, man. Band's once again dialed in. I gave it an 8, which is excellent as well. But I probably should have done a 9 after hearing that just now. I was like, man, I probably should have gone 9 on that one. But
Man, seriously, it's an outstanding song, and I know that Captain Fanboy is in the freaking driving seat.
It's not
today,
that, Jimmy. So when I was listening to it, I was like,
get it. All right.
8 seems a little lower than it's a little too low to me right now, but I'll stick with my number.
Hey, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. All right, Chris, let's hear the original.
Very doomy.
All right, so I'm going to disagree. I think that song has just got like a hint of darkness, a little bit of evil.
It
It reminds me of something that would be right up their alley in their listening styles in those days. And I think that's probably why they covered the song, because it did have that hint of darkness to it. I mean, yeah, it's absolutely not what you would expect a band like Metallica to cover, but at the same time, they juiced it up and gave it the Metallica sound.
You said you disagree. What were you disagreeing?
Well, you were saying that it's far, that this song is
the worst. You think Metallica's version is not as good as this? Is that what you're telling me?
Oh, no, that's way better. But I'm just saying, it's just the tonality of the original tune is probably what throws you off, because it's not as fast. It's definitely not the same.
It's got a good groove to it
tone.
As well.
Yeah. Oh, it grooves, man. It grooves. I love it. I mean, I think it's good. Do I want to dive into the band? No, but I have gone back and listened to pretty much every one of these albums just because I was such a fan Metallica dork. But, you know, it's all good. It's all good. All right. You guys have any more thoughts about the original version?
No, like I said, it has a that doom metal kind of vibe to it. Like
I might have been a little critical the way I said that, but I just meant that Metallica's version was better as well.
Oh, it is, for sure. Yeah,
sounds a little bit like Death in a way, too, the original version. Some of the Death stuff, slower Death stuff. Yeah.
No.
I'm not well-versed in Death, but at the same time, I know I've heard
Chuck Schuldiner will freaking smack you right in the mouth for saying that. No, I'm just kidding. He probably dig this band, too, to be honest with you, but yeah. All right, kids, let's go to track three. It's called The Wait. Chris. Guys, so The Wait from the band Killing Joke, little love pat from Metallica to those guys. And I will tell you right now, the original vocalist of Killing Joke reminds me of Lemmy for some reason, and we'll hear that in just a minute. I just want to throw that out there. I do love the opening riff. Kirk absolutely owns this song. I mean, the drums are super tight. Lars is on fire on this one. Jason's bass is absolutely audible, unlike the Justice album. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding, but it's still there. I mean, it's present and it's powerful. There's no doubt that Hetfield's doing his thing, and I love the vocal synthesizer on him. The thing is changing his voice. That's killer. This is 24-year-old James Hetfield, and his vocals are his prime, in my opinion. And I don't know why he's using a voice thing on his, you know, on his vocals on this, but it kind of adds a little depth of mystery to this tune, because once again, this band may have not been as famous at the time to the younger fans, but man, this is my least favorite on the album. However, I still love the song. I think they played this live when we saw them in Greensboro, guys. I don't know if y'all remember this, but I think it's between excellent and outstanding. I gave it an 8.5. That's where I stand on The Wait. Chris, what do you think about The Wait? I can't wait.
So your lowest score on this album is 8.5, is what you're telling me?
Dude, you're lucky I didn't go 5-10s. I'm just going to be honest with you.
Chris's Flush of the Week.
I disagree with that.
Ah, dude.
It's okay.
It's not okay. There should be no flush on a 5-song album.
I am
album,
a Metallica man. Fan. I'm not going to flush a tune on this album. I love it. You can whine it all you want to, man. It's your choice. It's your ears.
That's Anthony. That's for Anthony, not you, Jimmy, by the way. It's the worst song on the album, I do think, and it's solely because of that vocal modulation he's got going on. When I initially tried to pull tracks for this album, I actually went to the 598 EP, and it sounded like complete dog shit. I mean, it was ridiculous how bad the vocal quality, or not to the production on that was. So I had to go to the Garage Inc. album to get these songs, and that's what that sounded like to me. That really bad production. I guess he's doing that on purpose. I don't know why he's doing that. Just sing it like you normally sing it, man. That said, this song falls in the pocket quick, and I do love the riff of it. I mean, and the guitar, everything. Really, the only bad part of it is James's vocals. The chorus is kind of bland too. There's not much going on that chorus.
Dare you?
I know. I'm treading on holy ground here. I was prepared, but I gave it 6. I think it's a very good song and worst on this album by a lot. I think everything else is extremely good, but and it's very good. Like it's definitely worse.
It's 4.5 minutes long. Oh my God, you little baby! All right.
That's what it is, man.
What do you think about the weight? He's probably going to shit on it too. I don't know.
No, actually,
going to shit. Are you serious, man? Come on.
Killing Joke released this on their Killing Joke album in 1980. In case anybody wants to research that, I mean, personally, man, the opening hooks you immediately. Metallica puts the pedal down and doesn't let up after that. Digging the thrashy nature of this one, the heaviness. I like the way the drums and vocals sound during the chorus. Like they kind of, I don't know what they're doing there with the chorus. The chorus has a really cool vibe to it when they do the chorus. I don't mind James's vocals. They definitely are different, but I can see them going, this is an EP, guys. Let's do something fun. Let's try something different, you know? So props for that too. So I dig it, man. I dig the drums in this one. The drums are really solid in this one. Lars, we got an issue with Lars listening to this song. He's tearing it up. I gave it an 8. I think it's an excellent tune, man. I really dig it. So, you know,
as do
no issues.
I. As do I. All right. Let's move it up to track 4. Crash Course.
We got the original version.
My bad. Yeah, God, we got to hear the original version. So here, trash.
I know it's a little different format today. Here we go.
That's like the Sex Pistols.
That sounds like a Sex Pistol when he sings the chorus.
I get it now. I understand why James changed his vocals to get him to make it sound a little more like that.
Yeah, that's vocal modulation as well going on, didn't he?
He had a little hint of it. And of course, that was the studio. I'm telling you right now, the way that was produced, this was produced in a. That version of Killing Joke was produced somewhere probably like in my basement, to be honest with you. I mean, it wasn't like a crazy expensive studio. I can tell you it wasn't Abbey Road. We'll put it that way.
Yeah.
You got to think about it. This was a punk band, very, very obscure. I get it. And they became famous because of Metallica in the States, you know, which is, that's kind of cool. You know, throws a little paycheck toward them.
Most punk bands want that kind of sound anyways. That kind of
Absolutely. It's raw. It's just raw. And that's what you want.
Remember when I was pulling this track and looked them up, like, you know how Spotify will kind of show you, and I guess Apple Music does too, kind of similar bands and stuff like that. The first band they compared them to was The Cure, which kind of surprised me a little bit. I was like, really?
Wow.
I don't get that. I don't get that at all. I think they had the kind of like the face paint and stuff. Kind of when you know, like you remember how the guy from The Cure looked? Yeah, kind of. They looked similar, maybe. Some of the album artwork and stuff kind of looked like something The Cure would do. I don't know. When I saw that, I was like, that's interesting. And I was like, I don't think the Metallica was listening to The Cure very much, so I don't know. But these guys are much more punk. I mean, I just remember seeing that and thinking that was odd.
Oh, yeah. All right, now let's do a little crash course brain surgery. Hit it.
Thank you.
Crash Course in Brain Surgery. This is time for Jason to show off the opening to the ending. It's full-blown bass there, and they're praising it. They're letting him show his talents off. I mean, I got this great punk rock vibe with this Metallica crunch to it. I love that. I love the song. I love the solo, and I'm glad you pulled that part of the song because it is absolutely blistering. It's fantastic. Blows the original away. I mean, it's pure Kirk Hammett bliss. The song is absolutely fun. Sounds like the guys are actually having fun, and they're in a good mood when they're recording this one. I think this one's outstanding. I gave it a 9. Chris, what do you think about Crash Course?
Yeah, I did want to pull that part with that bass guy. That's for Anthony. I know he's a big bass guy, so I had to get that. Yeah, of course, the very beginning has a nice little bass part as well going on. So really, wherever I went there, it would be. I'd want to get some of Kurt doing the guitar solo as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man, this is a solid tune. I the rhythm section, this kind of like pushes it really well. I feel like it kind of shines in this song. I will say it's not much of a chorus in this, but other than that, not too many complaints. I gave it a 7.5. I think it's between great and excellent. Solid tune, man.
Yeah. Excellent. All right, Anthony, what did you think about Crash Course?
Yeah, this was released by Budgie or Bougie?
Budgie.
Budgie, that's right. In 1971 on the Budgie album. So probably the oldest one on here, I think, 71.
I wasn't sure if it was Budgie or Budgie. I didn't know.
I think it's Budgie, yeah.
It is.
Well, I mean, my notes right here say intro, fire. Love the bass that leads this one in. Before the band drops into the mix and starts cranking out the thrash, it's another solid tune. Band's dialed in. Everyone is hitting their marks. Yeah, I do like hearing the extra bass with Newstead here. Guitar, solo, drums. It just all works, man. This is another 8 for me. Excellent tune from start to finish.
Fabulous. All right, guys. Let's wrap this thing up with a little Misfits Love. Last Caress. Oh, my God. I keep forgetting. Oh, my God. We got to play the original. I'm an idiot. Oh, my God. Hit that original. Guys, so just so you know, that
Zeppelin
sounds
vibe from that, no doubt.
Dude, that sounds like a damn Hawkwind song, and I'm trying to think of back from the 70s. Oh my God, what is the name of that? Holy crap.
Hawkwind.
There's
Hawkwind
a band.
Had
they were
Lenny.
Like a
that's where Lenny
yeah,
got it.
Yeah.
That's where we got it started. Let me get it started.
I believe so. Is it on the In Search from Space album? God, I can't remember the name of it. Oh, Master of the Universe. Here it's called Master of the Universe. And
it's by who?
Play?
It's by Hawkwind.
It's called Hawkwind. If it'll play, it starts off slow.
This from,
1970.
Little added production bonus in this thing.
Yeah, it's added. This is. I just wanted to hear the similarities if it'll get to it. Oh God, help
it's
me!
70s,
completely
man.
Unprepared here. I
well, it just hit me just now.
It's kind of appropriate for a Garage Days album to be this kind of way, isn't it?
Bad production. Maybe I'll make this one sound like crap when I'm in post.
You should. It should sound like Metallica produced it in 1987. It's hard to hear the bass, but there's like doo-doo, doo-doo.
This is Hawkwind?
Yeah. But anyway, that's what it reminded me of when I heard that the original version just now, and I thought, this is a band that Noel kind of digs. It's they're a prog band, basically, but... I thought, well, that reminds me of the Hawkwind song. I think it's a great... This is probably, of the covers, that was pretty darn close to the original. I mean, bass-wise, holy crap. Dude,
yeah,
Jason.
I do think it had kind of a very similar pace as far as...
Yeah, oh yeah, and for sure. And isn't that crazy that the original came out in 1970? Holy crap. Unreal.
It's amazing. Unreal. There's some... You think Sabbath and Deep Purple and Zeppelin had these big, heavy sounds, which they did, But there's a lot of little bands spread around them that just had a even heavier sound occasionally, you know. So
yeah, for sure.
You don't know about.
I mean, that was when it started exploding. So, all right, let's go to the final track on this album, guys. Last Caress, Green Hell. Hit it. I got something to say. I killed your baby today. So Metallica absolutely closes out this EP with with one of their best friends' songs, Glenn Danzig, Misfit cover, and you know, they love that guy. There's stories of them going way back to, like, I guess maybe 83 prior to Glenn breaking away from the Misfits and going on to Samhain, but they were friends with the guy, and he gave the nod to record this. And I'll be honest with you, this probably sold as many Misfit albums as the Misfits did prior to this coming out. So I know that it was just huge. This is probably they own this song for real. The cover, when we hear the original in a minute, just it blows it away. I mean, I get it. It's more punky for the Misfits, but Metallica crushes it. They own it. They play it live to this day. And I something special at the very end of the song. They give a little nod, tip of the hat to Iron Maiden as well, which I love.
Yeah,
with the run to the hills. And I can't think of a better way to close out an EP of covers. I mean, I think it basically just did a nice snapshot in time. This song's outstanding as well. Outstanding cover. I think they do just super great job of Last Caress and Green Hell. I gave it a 9. Chris, Last Caress, Green Hell.
Yeah, got a little shock factor going on there with the lyrics.
Yeah, don't even shock.
Probably should have told anybody had kids in the car to cover their ears on this.
Yeah, those lyrics punch differently the older you get, don't they?
I think they do.
That I didn't even think about them when I was a teen. I was just into it, but now I'm like, as a dad, I'm like, makes a lot. That's a lot rougher, you know.
I think it was a different time too, and stuff just wasn't as like analyzed. Maybe, I don't know. But yeah, man, it's a two solid covers. You know, I've got the originals here as well, which I'll play in a minute. And Glenn Danzig does have a unique voice, but man, Hetfield just blows it out of the park. And it's hard to say that. I mean, I think Metallica's got the better version. I mean, it's just the way it is. I think Last Caress is, you know, it's interesting. They're two different kind of songs. I'm not really sure why they merged them together. Maybe they just wanted to do like a Danzig tribute or something. I don't know. But I think Last Caress is probably a little more catchy. Green Hell is something you really got to like probably sit there and read the lyrics to even understand what he's saying most of the time. But you know, it's like a thrash speed kind of song as well. So it's a solid tune. I think James, the way he kind of bellows out that Green Hell, you know, the way he does, he crushes that song too. I give it an 8. I think it's an excellent way to close the album.
Awesome. Anthony, what do you think about Last Caress, Green Hell?
Yeah, both of these songs are on the Misfits 1980 Beware EP. So it was on an EP too, according to Metallica Wiki. So covering a song on an EP from an EP. Anyways, I never listened to the Misfits much, but I know they've been a pretty popular band throughout the years. I wrote a killer tune, you know, some tough lyrics, but powerhouse of a song, band's putting it all in again. It might be the heaviest. It's extremely thrashy, man. compared to the rest on here.
In particular, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's an incredible tune, man, and I like the way they merge both songs together pretty effortlessly. And I guarantee you, they couldn't afford Iron Maiden. That's why they didn't put an Iron Maiden on here. No issues, man. Sending this album off with another 9. It's an outstanding tune. So open with a 9 in my mind and close with a 9. So can't ask for any more than that.
Yeah, that's. I mean, it's a fun ride, guys. So my final. Oh, we got to hear this original. Dang it, God, I hate this. All right,
virtual slap. Original.
I got something to say.
I tell you something that's crazy is, and you guys may not realize this, but Metallica, a few years back, they had gotten a little show. They did like a one night or two night thing, maybe a weekend in San Francisco. And they had the original artist for most of these songs. A lot of these songs come up and sing with them on these. And they had Glenn Danzig come up. You know, they did Die, Die, My Darling on the next Garage Day Inc. album as well, which is a Misfits song. You guys may not realize that. But they had Glenn come out and do Last Caress, Green Hell, and Die, Die, My Darling. And it's freaking awesome. And they're playing at Metallica pace, not the Misfits pace. It's pretty cool that they had this kinship. And I know I told Chris before you got on the phone, James Hetfield has uncredited vocals on some Danzig albums because of contract agreements with the different record labels. He wasn't allowed to say who he was. But if you go back and listen to the songs of these Danzig albums, you're like, oh my God, that is James Hetfield, because you can tell his vocal styling easily.
That's funny, man.
If you're a fan. But yeah, man, it's pretty cool that they maintain this friendship over the years, and it's pretty awesome, man. Now I'm going to go to my final thoughts if you want me to.
Well, I'll expand a little bit on that, and then you can. Yeah, when I'm listening to that, that's an interesting band. This is the most punk feeling group that I think we got in this. Of the originals there on this. And man, I almost feel like I want to go like storm Buckingham Palace and like protest Margaret Thatcher or something. I don't know, man. Like, when you hear these songs, you get why this was popular, I guess. Vocally, you know, he's interesting. And you know, I actually had some pretty good background vocals during Last Caress there when I was listening on the Misfits song. But yeah, you know, it's pretty solid stuff. I want to give Jesse a tip of the cap here. I actually asked him yesterday. I was like, hey, by the way, he's a big punk rock guy. So I invited him, but he was out of town, couldn't do it. But I didn't realize at the time when I invited him. But yeah, he said he'd listen in. So Jesse, hope you enjoy this one. I don't know. I feel like maybe that was the best cover or the best original of all the songs on this. What do y'all think about that?
I don't know. I'd argue. I mean, it's not my favorite on the album, but it's
unique, and those guys stand out though.
I mean, Metallica does a great job covering it. I mean, they really do.
But I mean, as far as the original songs go, I think that might have been like the best of the bunch.
Oh, the original songs?
For Green Hell, maybe, but not for Last Caress. Last Caress completely sounds different.
I'm not saying difference. I'm just saying I think it's a really good song compared to maybe... They're all good songs, but Metallica just like takes over some of these other ones. That one stands on its own, I think, before Metallica got involved, I guess.
Yeah, I see.
I agree. I mean, it's obviously that's the one they play. If Anthony would have... If you'd have pulled those plays in concert, Last Caress has got to be way higher than the rest of them. And I mean way higher, because they play it a lot. And I'm pretty sure they still play it to this day, even though, I mean, because it's like 2 minutes to play that part of the song. And they don't really do the Green Hell part. They just do the Last Caress for a minute and 20 seconds or whatever it lasts. And that's what they did when we saw them in Johnson City on the Black Album tour. So, I mean, it is what it is. And that's probably why it's got the most plays of all the covers, I think. But hey, you know, what do I know? I'm just a Metallica fan. Anyway. all right. So I got some final thoughts. So normally I write down, kind of a summation of an album. And on this one right here, I didn't write anything down, because honestly, as soon as I listen to this album, I listen to this regularly, so I know this one like the back of my hand. This came out when I was 14 years old. I mean, I'm in the middle of my skate days, right in high school. This is, you know, perfect timing in a perfect world for a metal fan growing up. You got all these pictures and videos starting to come out, because the Cliff Amal VHS had just came out as well when this album came out. It was called the 1998 video or something like that. I remember listening to this, just absolutely being blown away. That was July, so it came out in the summertime. I remember getting this at the record bar for $5.99 on cassette, by the way. It wasn't $5.98, it was $5.99. Isn't that crazy? I can remember buying this at record bar. I love this album. I think it's fun. It's a snapshot in time of these guys getting over probably one of the most devastating things a band can go through and forging forward. They're having fun. I mean, they're mid-20s. They're still partying hard, for sure. I mean, no doubt about it. I mean, they were this is the tour they deemed the album, or their shirts, Alcoholica. So they sold album shirts, Alcoholica. So there's no doubt. When they did this, they were still partying hard. It's fun to listen. I couldn't recommend this enough to anybody that likes old school Metallica. My overall was a 9. I think it's outstanding. I couldn't disagree with my rating at all. I would recommend this to anybody. I know. Yeah, I'm a fan. I'm a fanboy.
It's okay. Chris wants to hate. There ain't a bad song. Chris
wants to hate. 11. It's fine, though. Yeah.
Chris wants to hate, Jimmy. Don't worry about it.
I ain't worried about it.
It's good, man.
It's one of my favorites. I remember. I mean, I've got this on. I still got the original CD in the garage. It's called the 998 CD back then, because they couldn't sell CDs for $5.98. And that actually says it on the cover, the 998 CD. But yeah, anyway. Overall 9, love it. Great trip down memory lane, and it's something I journey a lot. Chris, what's your final thoughts?
Well, this was my first Metallica tape as well, and it's strictly because of the price and the way they advertised it right on the cover there. I was low on funds that day. I knew I wanted to get a Metallica tape, and this is the one I got. Man, it opened strong. I mean, I really did enjoy Helpless. That, like I said, that one felt like it could have fallen right into Master of Puppets or something. It would have fit perfectly. It closes strong as well. These songs are groove-driven. They're all better than the originals. I will say the production value was a joke on that initial. And, you know, I don't remember when I, back in the day, listening to that and realizing that, but I sure did when I was trying to pull the clips for this thing. I'm sure the tape sounded the same way, but I guess I was a kid and just didn't know any better at the time. I don't
probably
know.
Didn't notice it with tapes as much as you would with CDs or streaming. Guys, tapes has their own issues.
I sent the picture to Chris. I don't know if I sent it to you, Anthony, but this album was, I mean, they even say it on the album, not very produced by Metallica. By Metallica. So that's, they didn't care. They just had to get something out.
You know, for me, it was a really solid listen. It's only 5 songs. It's a quick listen. But my overall was a 7.8. I did tweak a couple scores here and there, so I'm not sure that's entirely accurate, but we'll give it an 8 overall. I think that's a solid. I think it's an excellent listen, and it's quick, and any Metallica fan would love it. So, yeah, that's where I am with this one.
Excellent. Anthony, final thoughts.
Pulled up some concert stats for covers on Setlist FM. Oh,
nice. Let's hear them, bro.
Last Caress by Misfits, 830 times in concert. Am I Evil by Diamond Head, 790. Bread Fan by Bougie, 339. So What, Anti-Nowhere League, 313. Bread Stone Cold Crazy, 161. And I'm trying to find the ones from the album. Helpless, 64. The Wait, 28 times. Green Hell, 12 times. And I don't see... I see Too Late, Too Late by Motorhead.
Crash Course, did you give that one?
I don't see Crash Course on here. On this list, probably a little lower, but I was just looking through those a minute ago while you guys were talking. Yeah, I don't see Crash Course in here anywhere.
So, interesting. That's actually got me confused because I'm pretty sure they played that one a few times.
I'm sure they have. You know, Setlist FM, but I mean, if I go to, man, we're all over the place this morning. If I went to song stats, I can go song by song. But anyways,
let's just get your overview or to your overview there.
I'm trying to make this an hour long. Come on, man. Crash Course one time is what it says on Setlist FM.
Oh, okay. Wow.
I don't believe that.
87 and 87 in England. 100 club in England is what it says.
Really?
That's what it says. Anyways, to make Chris happy, make this a little less for him today. So,
well, Jimmy does have a...
Oh, yeah, I'm going to leave. You guys do what you got to do.
8 minutes, so, you know, go ahead. I know.
I'm just trying to fill the audience in with some facts is what I was trying to do. Like Mr. McKamey said over there.
Keep stretching. Exactly. Keep stretching.
Exactly.
Oh, I got to stretch. No, I'm just kidding. 8.4 from overall rating. Can't argue with that math because I did it. I know this is an EP and not a full-length Metallic album, but it's still amazing from start to finish. Always enjoy diving into it when I get a chance to. I know these songs are all cover songs, but Metallica made them their own. They still sound as great now as they did when I was a teen. Can't recommend this one enough to anybody who listens to us or who just loves Metallica. Turn it on and crank it up today. Well worth your time.
Agreed. All right, we got a pick, don't we?
We do.
And in this corner, weighing in at 165 pounds, it's the blues rock guru, the master of podcast production, and the man who cannot stop the battery. It's Chris's pick.
So this one came up kind of fast on me. I just realized this morning, oh, I got to make a pick. So I pulled three albums. I'm going to give you all some dates and let you guys have a little influence on this one. I have a fairly hard rock album from 84. I've got a hair metal album from 1990, and I've got a country album from 2023. So...
skip the country one.
Spin the wheels.
You pick it.
Jimmy would love the country one. But go
ahead. I know who it is. You know, I know exactly what it is.
You probably already got on your list. All right.
And I would have said, if
you know what, I'm just gonna make
Jimmy pick, I would be like, it's going to be the one from last year, but we'll pass.
I will. You know what? I'm just going to go ahead and do the 1991 because
that's what I was
thinking.
I
would want to hear that one instead. It's the debut album from the band Firehouse.
Oh, yeah. I was just thinking about Firehouse. What's the name of it?
Firehouse.
Get the firehouse.
There's a couple hits on that, and I think I might have had it. I listened to it this morning, a few through some of the songs. I was like, yeah, I remember even the ones that weren't radio songs. So I probably had it at some point.
But yeah,
I got it right behind me.
Do you really? You have the LP? Oh, it is CD. Okay. Yeah.
You know, sometimes I forget what bands, how late some of these bands. I guess Tony Warrant,
1989,
their debut. Firehouse 90 was their debut. I mean, some of these bands that, if they'd come out earlier in the 80s, they'd had massive careers. But they just, too late.
Bad timing, man. Bad timing is all it was.
It was. So, but yeah, Firehouse, that's a good one, man.
Awesome. It'll be a fun, poppy little listen. All right. Anthony, what you got going on this week, man?
Songlines and Tan Lines podcast is Fruitcakes Part 2. Next week is One Particular Harbor, the one we did, because my kids are on spring break. And then after that, I'm pairing Margaritaville and Tom Sawyer together. So, and
all right.
How dare you do that to Margaritaville?
I've got two YouTube channels that you guys could check out too. Songlines and Tan Lines Fiction Addiction and Disembodied Screams for all my horror stuff. And I split them because horror.
I like that.
Yeah, horror didn't fit with what I was doing with Songlines and Tan Lines Fiction Addiction. So all my horror stuff will be over there on Disembodied Screams. So,
wow.
Horror that lives in your soul. That's the tagline. So,
actually, nice. pretty solid name and tagline.
Nice.
If you want to check out those, that's just tinkering for me right now. It's creative tinkering. It's all I do. I like to just be creative, and it's what I've been working on.
Excellent. All right, kids. Fun episode. Best band in the world. For the Audible Ecstasy podcast, this is Jimmy.
This is Chris.
This is Anthony.
And this is Metallica.